Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, when Abram heard the call of God in Haran, the call was a clear one. The call was to take everything that he had and all his family and to go into the land that God would show him. It was undoubtedly a mysterious call, clear as it was, though it was not darkness and mysterious despair. It was good and even very good. For in the call was a promise. Abram, all people on earth will be blessed through you. What that could possibly mean could not have been understood by Abram, and soon to be Abraham. But one could say that he had seen the day coming, which would be proven true soon enough. And it made Abram glad to see that day on the horizon. Closer to that approaching horizon, several centuries later, was the day of Moses. And in Moses' day, at the beginning of his ministry, he received something of a similar revelation from God and a call to leadership and a reiteration of the promise to Abraham. In Exodus chapter 3, on Mount Horeb in Midian, at the burning bush, Moses received his call and had the boldness to ask God, what was his name? What shall I tell them when they ask me the name of the God who has sent me to them to lead them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You shall call me I am. And now in the gospel reading for Passion Sunday, an interaction takes place between Jesus and his accusers. And they would accept at this point any straw they could grasp at to prove Jesus somehow wrong, or to make him look foolish, or to discredit his ministry, to put an end to this meteoric rise of a new prophet, to let them feel what they were feeling for once, put down. As if to hand them precisely what they're asking for, the interaction begins this way. Jesus says, those who keep his sayings will never see death. And then they figure their moment has come, ready to pounce. For Abraham was dead and the prophets were dead. Jesus would have to be claiming he was greater than Abraham and the other patriarchs or the prophets of old. Isaac, Jacob, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Jesus responded to this in a powerful way, that for those who are willing to contemplate his meaning, they should have been stunned into amazement. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. When a friend of yours says something impossible and you feel free to immediately and without thought contradict and question and clap back, that's fine. But these ones were about to learn that with Jesus, quick reaction should be reserved for worship, shouts of exultation, and wonder, not argument. There is one primary day of which it could be said that Abraham had seen and was glad and even rejoiced, and that was the day that he was promised, the day that all nations would be blessed in him. Whether Abraham saw a vision of Jesus or not is immaterial. We know that he was shown a day when he would bless all nations, and that made his journey out into the unknown worthwhile and even joyful. What Jesus meant is that the day Abraham had seen had come. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And if Abraham was glad, then what are you, son of Abraham, arguing with me about? But argue they did. Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? The scriptures don't include awkward pauses or anything about the tone of the following statement, but I like to believe that the question that was asked was half, let's say, at half speed, okay? I like to believe the question of disbelief was something like, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" You did? What are we talking about here? That would explain a lot, actually, if that was true. And maybe that has something to do with why you are the way you are. Have you seen Abraham? And Jesus' answer is the word that we need to hear at the outset of Passion Tide. The meaning of the cross is yet utterly veiled to them at this time. Even his disciples could not see the victory of the cross that was just out of sight. The horizon that Abraham saw and was glad, but was still veiled, even to Abraham. Jesus gave all who would hear him say it, from that day until this day, a clue as to just how Abraham would be a blessing to all the people of the world. Jesus brought those sons of Abraham forward to the site of the burning bush and had them stand spiritually barefoot as Moses before him. And as if they were asking just what they should call him, he answers using the very name given to Moses at the burning bush. "Before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to cast at him. The only other option is worship. And they weren't willing to do that in front of all those people. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple only because his hour had not yet come. But when it did come, even if they would not know who he was, we would. God who met Abraham in Haran, God who met Moses at Horeb, was going to be condemned to die, and in his humanity that he took up in himself in the incarnation, he would be crucified along with common criminals, and they would attempt to make an example out of our Lord. With the resurrection and ultimate victory of God over death still veiled, the confusion and chaos and devastation was all that the Passion inspired. But nevertheless, they were making an example of him in more ways than they knew. The second person of the Trinity, God incarnate, was not only setting an example, he was setting the example. With pure intention of divine love, the very meaning of life was revealed in the example of redemptive and innocent self-sacrifice for the sake of others. As we come to the close of the Lenten season in these last 2 weeks and walk through the confusion and chaos of a violent and wicked world, reacting with infantile vitriol against our Lord, let us instead stand in awe with the disciples and followers who watched what was happening on that hill, and not with quick argument, but with shout of acclamation, let us worship and see that we were being redeemed by the great I Am himself. As our sin was crucifying the Son of God, it was being atoned for on a day when the whole world was blessed through Abraham. It cannot be redone. It cannot be undone. It is finished. And it is now for us to believe, to worship, and to follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.